see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The well gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Walking for Jesus Bible study for tonight. And welcome for y'all dropping by. You know, I made a mention some time ago about a little formula that I came up with, sort of. That in days, good days, when just normal life, doing your routines and all this and all that, everything's just normal, just a little drama here and there and all that. People go to church, you know, and they do their thing. It's normal. The only big problems, really, is people not getting ready or family disturbances or whatever. And, of course, domestic situations and intervene or whatever. But we're talking a normal day of some sort. So the person, the family goes to church, they do their thing, they do the church, they go through the plate, the songs, listen to the preacher, nodding, yeah, okay, and out to go. Every Sunday. Now times get bad. The person loses his job, they go divorce, or something really ugly happens in the lifestyle of the family, or the town, or the city, the state, the country, whatever. God's put on the side. Man does it himself. We've got to fight this tyrannical government. We've got to do it for God. Okay. Or in the family, the divorce happens. We're taking it right down from one extreme to the other. And the family is going different directions. Divorce. A death of the family. Something. Well, I can't go to church today. I just got too much to do. Too much in my mind. I can't handle it anymore. Whatever, whatever. They put God on the side. Is this everybody? No. But majority? Yeah. I'm going to solve it myself. Here we go. And only when, this is first, second phase, third phase, only when they have exhausted all human means, they have nowhere to go. Or maybe they've covered it over with icing just to make it, hide it, but still there, the problem, the issue, the whatever it is. But only when they've expended all human means do they really go to God, because there's nothing else they can do when they should have went to God in the first place. Anyway, that's how it's going to be in the end times. Rick Joyner and Boykin and all the other White Hats and Knights of Malta and Patriots and good people, some of these other, not these ones I just mentioned, they're really bad people. Boykin and Joyner, bad news. Luciferians, they worship Lucifer because they belong to the secret societies, but I want to make sure that's clear. But those that join these units, join these movements, they really have this idea because they're lied to by the Joiners and all those in the secret societies are lied to the people below them. So you have good people that join in thinking they're doing the right thing, but they're going to do it themselves. We'll have a military coup. We'll solve this ourselves. God's help, we'll do it ourselves. What are you talking about? Anyway. And when it fails, then they finally go to God. Or when they're in bondage because they got put in prison or on a deathbed because of what they did, they go to God. At the last minute they go. Last minute. When everything's expended, everybody goes to God. Okay. Let's take another step, number four. When the tribulations actually begin, they haven't begun yet. But when they do, the real ones, when the Antichrist comes in and peace and prosperity, and people will say, aha, we told you so, things are going to work out, you conspiracy theorists, you born-again Christians, you're wrong. Well, you all that know the story, that's when you better buckle up, bucko, because it's coming your way. All you got to do now is just say, well, I've done everything I can, and then you disappear. Or you preach the gospel, whatever it is you're calling to do, because you know the hammer is going to fall. When they say peace and prosperity, buckle up. And once that hits, man, it ain't going to stop till Armageddon, 7 years later. 7 years of God allowing Satan the 3.5 years. In the last 3.5 years, God's going to hammer this earth. Here's the point. Right now, the fake tribulations, well, they're actually happening, but they're being orchestrated by technology, earthquakes and the storms and the dead fish and dead birds and dead cows and all this stuff going on and UFOs and all this, that, and the other. By technology and holograms and so forth and so on. It's all technology. Supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors. But when that 3.5 years has finished, beginning the next 3.5 years of God's wrath, there comes that great earthquake. It talks about it in the sixth seal. Family, it's not going to be just a tremor. He's going to move the plates like he did during the days of Peleg. The entire plates. It tore apart the continents, family. It tore apart the continents. That's why the continents fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. Family, this ain't no small thing. And that will create massive tsunamis. I don't think people have any idea of God's power. And let me tell you something. These ones like Bagley and all the rest of them that say, well, we got a Red River in Pakistan or a really great earthquake. And then Pat Robinson said, you know, God did this and God did that. No, it didn't. It's Satan and his supernatural and science operating. Diseases are happening. See, we're into it. We're disease everywhere. We're in the fourth seal. No, it's going to be worldwide there, bucko. Dead fish, dead birds, dead cows everywhere. We're in the end times. No, it's created by technology. Well, in the sixth seal, when God has the earthquake that we're talking about, guess what? No technology will exist. What does that mean? That means that when the Rockefellers, if they're still living, and the ones in the deep underground military bases that's hiding out, because they know it's coming. That's why they got the deep underground bases for. That's why they have their own culture designed and created with bringing together a new creation of their own. It's already done. Changing Fate of America, October 2013, National Geographic issue. It's there. They're going to hide out underground bases. That's what they're for. They know the tribulations are coming. So they're going to go underground. You got to be kidding me. Well, that earthquake is going to be top to bottom. North and south, east and west, and top and bottom, as above, so below. There'll be no technology. That means that they'll have no control. They'll wonder then how this is all happening without their control, without technology. It's because God is doing it. That's what the seventh seal is all about. To announce with the 30 minutes of silence that God's wrath is on the way. And the first trumpet will begin God's wrath, supernatural, as announced by the two witnesses that will appear. The Antichrist won't have such a utopia after all. The fallen angels will be manifested on this earth in the fifth seal, in the sixth seal. The stars will fall from heaven. That's the fallen angels. Will fall from the second heaven to physically be manifested on the first heaven like in the days of Noah. Except they better be good at dodging. Because the first trumpet will be their judgment and everybody on earth. Always the seventh trumpet for 3.5 years of this. 3.5 years. Then comes Armageddon. Between the Antichrist and his transhumanized 200 million man army against Jesus Christ. At the final campaign of Armageddon. Many will rise up against the Antichrist. What are you doing to us? Because the Antichrist in mid-tribulation will announce that he's Lucifer. Now you'll worship me, he'll say. Surprise, surprise. You have today desecration of churches and lewd acts with statues of against Jesus and so forth. And they're prosecuting folks for that. Denial of Holocaust is against the law in certain places in Europe. If you deny the Holocaust, it's against the law. Well, let me tell you the reasons for all this. It's because they're setting up the criteria and the legislation by which those that deny the Antichrist, deny his theology, deny to or refuse to bow down to the his symbols and his statues will also be prosecuted by the same laws. See, I like to look ahead at these things that, because I see it coming. Why? Because I read the Bible. It's not because I'm a prophet. It's because I have the Bible that makes you kind of a interested sub-prophet of reading what's coming. However, I just got an email today from these people. The truth about the third secret of Fatima, new amazing revelations. Always going to be new prophecy, new revelations. Fatima, Malachi, Malarkey. I call them Malarkey. We have a new revelation. We have a new prophecy. We found a new Bible. We found a new scripture. We found a new whatever. Somewhere is going to come popping up. It's all going to be junk. There is no new prophecy. Jude 1, verse 3 and 4 confirm that there's no more prophecies. The book of Revelation, Isaiah, and Daniel tell you all you need to know of 100% truth what's going to happen. Dedicate the broadcast. Boy, that hour flies, man. dedicate the broadcast where we'll talk about the millennium and some other things right quick. And I need 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes I get to talk, and I don't like talking normally. I just really don't. You wouldn't believe that, would you? But when I get on the radio or talk about this, I just sometimes just can't shut up. Lord, we thank you tonight for bringing us together in the Bible study. Father, lead us tonight. Forgive us of our sins. We lay them before you on the cross. Father, that you touch our families, Lord, that touch their hearts, that they'll hear influence. They'll hear, Father, our testimonies, that when we get around them, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts, that they'll seek the truth. Father, they'll bring people to Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be strong. Convict us when we fall away. Father, help us with our thoughts. Deliver us from the evil. Father, we pray for those we prayed for in the past, for healings, for families to come together. Those that's lost out, those that's seeking truth, that they'll come back to their families. And families, Lord, we pray that interruptions will be stifled, that the blood of Jesus will be put around us and protect us from any interruptions, and Father, to protect us from the evil intents and turn it in back in reverse to be able to witness to others that are being used by Satan. Father, we pray for those lost, that they'll be found. We pray for that lost, that girl in Boone, North Carolina, that, Father, they'll find her. Father, we pray for Virginia, that she'll be healed. We pray for our veterans, Lord, that the thoughts of suicide will be taken away from them, and they'll find rest and peace in your love. Father, we pray for others that are being attacked from the outside. Father, in these things we pray about the blood of Jesus around us and the full armor of God protecting these end days. In these things I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The family, it says in the end times, very plainly, and it's happening. Jesus calls Satan the father of all lies. He never had sex with Eve in the garden, as serpent seed doctrine. I got hit with that today. Man, they are stuck on glue on that one. Arnold Murray and Christian Identity and the serpent seed doctrine and all that, that Satan and Eve, Samuel, Satan, had sex with Eve. That's the big thing now. That Cain was black, and he wasn't, that his bloodline was carried over to the flood, that people don't read their Bibles. None of that. It's all speculation. The truth is contained in the Bible. There's no such thing. Do you know that an estimated 20 million people, even if it's just 1 million, in 1,550 years, from Adam and Eve to Noah, they're estimated 20 million, but let's say just 1 million. that there are only how few were actually righteous in God's eyes. Abel, Seth, Enos, Cana, Mahael, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. That's it. Only one left of the entire earth was Noah and his 8 to 7 members of his family. An entire earth. God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah if it had found at least 1 or 2 or 3 righteous. Found none. 8 out of 20 million? or even 1 million. 8 people means everything, everybody else was corrupted, evil, that you can't even imagine. Man is inclined to evil, not good. The scriptures confirm this. So now you multiply it, of course. It's certainly past 1,550 years, and each decade would exponentially increase population. You can imagine if you did a ratio of how many today would be righteous versus how many are not. That's why Satan will have no influence in the thousand-year millennium reign until after the 1,000 years. Then those in the millennium reign will have an opportunity to have made a choice when Satan is released at the end of the 1,000 years. And that's the real Gog and Magog. The second seal, World War III, is a segment or a part of Gog and Magog. But it's a completion of Psalms 83. One part of Psalms 83 was in 1967, but not the part of the tribulation at all. The completion of Psalms 83 will be in the second seal, a coalition of Islam against Zionism. That was the real World War III, not the fake one they got coming up today or recently set up, no. The real World War III is after the Antichrist, Sanan Emanuel, disclosure, takes control. So they got to have some kind of instant, some kind of crisis, some kind of fake war. Something is going to happen that will bring us to the first seal, which means we're close to the first seal. First seal is peace and safety. The false prophets, Sanan Emanuel, the Antichrist will make things better. They'll stop the chemtrails. They'll clean up the water. They'll bring peace to everybody. Sanan Emanuel will fill the bill for the Kalki Avatar, Bodhisattva, Imam Mahdi, the Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Maitreya, and Krishna. He'll fill all 7 messiahs in one. And he'll introduce, bring to bear the physical vehicle called the Antichrist. He'll be a good guy at first. And then you heard what I said earlier. And then after World War III, he'll turn into a really bad guy called Lucifer, because Lucifer will enter his body and then will rule. So, at the end of Armageddon, it begins a 1,000-year millennium. But between now and then, the Bible warns us, in the last days, evil men and women will be prevalent. Lying and deception, which are now called spinning, will characterize this generation and the leaders who will pull the world down into the dark abyss and terrors of the coming apocalypse will keep everybody in fear. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So the Bible kind of goes on with this, that all those who are called things God calls evil, they'll call good. And the things God calls good, they'll call evil. You know, there's many examples of this twisting of the right and wrong found in our world today. It includes lying and deceiving, and other kind of obvious examples include homosexuality, increased adultery, aberrant sex of some kind, different here and there, which God and the Bible calls evil, which is now being presented as good on TV and movies and our schools. 22 states now have lifted the ban on homosexual marriage. Simply posting the Ten Commandments in a public place or individual, a group, national prayer, publicity spoken in the name of Jesus Christ. One school kid, someone sneezed, he says, bless you, and the teacher suspended him. It's all in part because their Eastern Stars, or their Freemasons, controls the law enforcement, controls the education, and the county city governments. It's all part of what they're told to do. The teachers, the female teachers, are seducing their students. Unbelievable numbers. Unbelievable. The law enforcement, the police officers are being infiltrated by felons that are well-trained, and eventually be 185,000 that are well-trained, will infiltrate all the police departments. Then they're going to bring together, watch what happens, they're going to bring together all the police departments into one national police department. That's coming. It will happen. Europeans will be in control. And Chinese in different places and whatever. It's a matter of time. Freemasons will die. They will be executed by the very people that they were serving. That's documented. It will happen. They don't know that yet. When I try to warn them openly, nobody believes it, but they're going to find out, unfortunately, the hard way. When it happens, that's when they need to seek forgiveness for the blood oath they took, to take Jesus Christ as Savior, because they're going to die. That's a guarantee. It's just a matter of time when the Great White Brotherhood, fallen angels, have total control of the world governments. That's when it'll start happening. Matter of time. However, many people believe that they're getting away with these things now. They don't believe they'll be judged after they die. However, the Bible's pretty clear. Isaiah 5 verse 20 says, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Isaiah 5:20. Hebrews 9:27, "And is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." That means you just don't disappear, universalists, Unitarianism, or Universalism, Unitarianism. Family, if it's an ism or an ist on the end of it, get out of it. It don't matter what it is. If it's got an ism on the back, get out of that sucker. God says that truth is non-negotiable, is fundamental to his law. In the past, you had liars and perjurers that were dealing with harshly and severely. But today, we see lying as casually accepted in the news, movies, on television. "Mommy? Yes, darling. Is there a Santa Claus?" "Why, sure enough are." "Uh-huh. Daddy?"
"Yes, baby."
You like my voices? "How come I just got a dollar from the tooth fairy? Times have changed. Where's my $5 bill for that tooth? And prices went up." Then the kid says, "Have not checked the stock prices?" This is the 21st century, you know. Tooth fairy. There's no tooth fairy. There's no Santa Claus. There's no Easter bunny. Of course, they got chocolate bunnies. I kind of like those, actually. But no Easter bunny? Nope. No Santa Claus? Nope. Tooth fairy? Uh-uh. They don't exist. Do Marines guard the streets of heaven? No, they don't. If they're born again, they'll be there, as everybody else will. When a Marine goes to hell, will he take over hell? No, he won't. He'll be tormented down there. That's the reality. I used to be a Marine. I don't live in fantasy anymore. All the wars were already planned before 1871. I have to live the truth. I can't live lies when I find out the truth. Lying is now being presented as funny and harmless. It's color-coded. White lie, black lie, red lie, white lie, lie soap, whatever. The generation now is unique in its reaction to liars and perjurers. Cross your fingers, you're safe. Color-coded, so I guess I cross my fingers and say it's a white lie, I'm okay, right? The nation's even lifted up and glorified the president, all of them. It's even admitted lying on the television. They mock God's law. In God's eyes, elected leaders of a democracy are mirrors which reflect the people who elected them, willingly keep them in office. Our compromise shows the compromise of our presidents, which are all secret society members, by the way, except for the ones they assassinated. Telling the truth is fundamental in God's law, Freemasons. So why do you take a blood oath to lie? You take a blood oath to God to lie. That's crazy. And keep secrets from your family. Immediately, you set up a division in the family. Immediately. When you have secrets, no matter what it is. The lodge's secrets is not worth causing a rift in your family. In the Bible, you find that when a nation, its leaders, defiantly mock, ignore, and turn their backs on God's law, like Chuck Baldwin, Rick Joyner, and all the rest of them, Romans 13, going against that, we're to do what the government tells us to do until the government goes against God's law. Then you refuse to do it. No matter what it is, if it's against God's law, I ain't doing it. Now they have preachers that are saying it's okay to take the mark of the beast. You do everything the government tells you to do. Now you got other preachers say don't do anything the government tells you to do because we've determined they're despotic and evil. So you got one set that says do everything. You got another set of preachers over here that said don't do anything. One says do everything. Wait a minute. You see what I mean? And they're both wrong. In the Bible, you find a nation and its leaders defiantly mock, ignore, and turn their backs on God's law. God's going to turn his back on that nation, too, and remove his protection and blessings from that people. The future of that people and nation is very, very grim. Martin Luther King told us about that. Not Jonathan Kahn, Harbinger, worthless book. Four Blood Moons by Hagee and Mark Bliss. You got to be kidding me. There's no Four Blood Moons. Now, they make things happen by their technology. But it's not by God they're doing it, or is being done. It's going to get worse and worse, family, before it gets better. When it gets better, that's when you say, look out. I have a hard time believing in God. Watch the news. God says all the biblical prophecies are now seen being fulfilled or given both as a final warning sign of the world as a verifiable evidence and proof the Bible is true. We see the beginning times, but not Jacob's time yet. Not the first seal yet, but we see that can be done. The kingdom of heaven is available to every man and woman and child in this world, no matter who they are, where they live, or what they have done. They just have to repent of their sins. And God will retell them what they need to do. It's freely offered to any and who will receive it. But they wait till the last minute. They wait till they can't do anything else and they finally go to God. Invite him into your life as Lord. Believe he died on a cross for all of your sins and rose from the grave. That there's a kingdom of heaven and a hell. If there's heaven, there's also hell. Learn about him. Believe in him. He's the only one who's ever loved you enough to substitute himself for you on the cross, coming down as Jesus Christ, God incarnated human flesh. And they're trying so hard to keep people from believing or even knowing that by these so-called religions. He shed his blood, suffered, and died on the cross to save us from our sins and from all utter darkness and torment of hell yet to come. Or it comes when those die, not born again. If you'll accept and believe and trust in him, then you're saved. That's why Jesus is called Savior. He offers us a life in heaven. It is to take it or leave it, proposition. The wheat and the tares, those who accept him and those who reject him. It's that simple. You have to consciously receive and accept it in faith. Voluntarily reject him or voluntarily accept him. They can't sneak the mark of the beast on you. you have to take an oath to Lucifer and then have it put on you for it to work against you. If you sincerely admit that you sinned, which means you'll send, you'll need a Savior to get you into heaven, ask Jesus to come into your life and honestly try to stop doing and saying those things. If you can't, have Him to help you by prayer and fasting. He'll accept you with open arms when you do this. He'll receive all who come to Him in faith and in love. You know, the only unpardonable sin is reject God's love and His free offer of life and the kingdom of heaven is rejecting Jesus. That's the only unpardonable sin, which is equivalent to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that only existed back when Jesus Christ was on earth. The equivalent to it is rejecting Him. Or not believing in Him. The Messiah stepped forth from heaven, as He promised throughout the Old Testament, not to condemn the sinner, but to save the sinner. Condemnation began at birth, the original sin. He just came down here to save us. From what? The torment of hell for eternity. That's exactly what. He willingly and lovingly shed His blood on the cross so we can be washed clean of all our sins. So the Bible warns us there will be no peace in our lives until we make peace with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. There will be no peace in Israel or on earth until Jesus, the Messiah, returns. There's no Joel's army. That's more of mankind's trying to solve his own problems and clean up his own mess. It's not going to happen. So what about the millennium? The millennial reign. The millennium, known as the millennial kingdom, is the 1,000-year reign of Jesus after the tribulation. I've talked about this a little bit before. And it's before all the people of the world is sent to heaven or hell. Jesus will reign as king over Israel as well as the nations of the world. The world will live in peace. Satan will be bound. The false prophet and the Antichrist at this point will throw in the lake of fire. Well, to kind of get things warmed up for him, I guess. People believe today erroneously and are taught, nobody says otherwise, that Satan is in hell. Well, no, hell is where he's going to be punished. So he's not there yet. He's in the second heaven, between the third heaven, where God resides, and the first heaven, earth, the universe that we know it, the physical universe, the planets, is where the fallen angels reside. It's called the second heaven. Supernaturally, they're there in different frequency environment. I'm not going to go there tonight. Hell is different. Hell's where they'll be punished. It's not where they live. Yet. That's where they dread to go, and they're trying with technology to fight God through it all. And if they can't stop Him, they want to have you go with them anyway. Satan will be bound for the 1,000 years, not thrown in the lake of fire, because there's no escape out of there. Because God's going to allow him to tempt the nations once more. At the beginning, everyone will worship God of the 1,000 years, and the purpose of the 1,000-year reign is to fulfill promises made to the world that cannot be fulfilled while Satan is free and humans have political authority. Because some of the promises called the covenants were given specifically to Israel. Others were given to Jesus, the nations of the world and creation. All these will be fulfilled during the Jesus' 1,000-year reign. Erroneously, today, people are saying, well, God's going to go by with a feast. No, this is after. the Feast of the Tabernacle is the thousand-year reign. So the feast don't say, well, God's not up there. Say, well, gosh, I guess December 12th, 1917, or whatever date, that's a feast. I better get things done here. It don't work that way. No. Now, can the Antichrist do it? Sure can. Can they fake it, like with Hagee, and who's a Freemason, and with Mark Blitz, who's another fraud? Can they say we have four blood moons and then make it happen? Sure they can. With technology, it's not coming from God. There's a period of deception that's coming in between. Using technology, holograms, supernatural, whiz-bang smoke and mirrors to fool mankind. And one of the greatest deceptions that's ever been is yet to happen. The Palestinian covenant is called the land covenant, Deuteronomy 30. 10 verses there, Deuteronomy 30, verse 1 to 10. God fulfilled the personal aspects of the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant established the first Hebrew Jews. That'd be Abraham. Was before him his bloodline? No. After him? Yes. Because that began Isaac and Jacob. But Ishmael kind of snuck in there at the very beginning, didn't he? With Hagar. Yeah. He is still the royal bloodline. He is the father, descendants of Ishmaelites. Most all the Arabs are half-brothers to the real bloodline Jews. Not the Ashkenazi in Israel leadership today. They're fake Jews. They're not Jews. They're part of the synagogue of Satan. The real Hebrew Jews, they know exactly who they are. And they won't be talking till the 144,000. So when you have those out here, controlled opposition, yes, I trace my bloodline back to Moses and I am part of the 144,000 baloney. They're not coming out yet until the time of their time has come. And then the Gentiles' time has ended. Then they will come out. Right now, they're secret, so secret that even Satan or their tyrannical government can't find them. Not even by bloodline. The Abrahamic covenant established Hebrew, the first Hebrew Jew, the bloodline that God wanted to bring his word to mankind, started with Abraham. The 12 tribes, that's what that was all about. Tribe of Dan got a little feisty. They're the 13th tribe. The tribe of Dan is intermingled. And they're part of the Merovingian bloodline in power today. They got disinherited along with Ephraim. Divided. Jesus was a Jew. Abraham did go to the promised land. He did have many descendants. So is Ishmael. So is Isaac and Jacob. Third World War is the synagogue of Satan causing the descendants of Ishmael to fight it out with the descendants of Isaac and Jacob. That's World War III. That's how far back it goes. And then the Antichrist and the Holy Roman Empire, the tribe of Dan, will emerge as a new world order. You see how it's going to work? Abraham, though, is the forefather of many nations. And you know, several hundred years after Abraham, Joshua actually led the Israelites to claim ownership of the promised land, but Israel never promised or possessed the boundaries that God promised them. The giants that were in many of the tribes scared them off. The giants ruled the land back then. But if they only trusted in God, things would be a lot different. If the Jews, if the Hebrew Jews, the 12 tribes had actually delivered the land, the word of God to mankind, we'd be speaking Hebrew today. You see what happened? They failed. They were divided. They turned away from God. And the task of bringing the word of God to mankind fell upon the Gentiles. Thereby went to Greece, and Greece translated the scriptures in Greek, finally to English, and that's where you got the King James Bible from. Long story short. So not even Solomon ruled over this particular area, 1 Kings verse 4, 21 to 24. He did reign from the river of Egypt and the Euphrates. He did not hold the area from Mount Hor to Hazarmon. And that was in present-day Lebanon in Syria. But in addition, you'll find that the covenant God made with Abraham was that he and his descendants would have the land for eternity. Genesis 13:15. Genesis 17:8. Ezekiel 16, verse 60. So when you look at the current Israeli state, it might be a step in that direction. But they still don't possess the boundaries that God laid out. So God allowed 1948 Israel to be formed. God allowed Israel to be established in 1967. He's going to clean out Israel in World War III. And the real Hebrew Israelites, 144,000, will preach the gospel before they're pulled out. But protected in the mountains when the 3.5 years of God's wrath on the land begins. They'll be protected in the mountains, supernaturally. The Davidic covenant was God's covenant with David. Was that the line would never die out and that David's heir would sit on the throne of Israel forever. They get it mixed up. They think it's Solomon or Nathan or someone else, but uh-uh. It's talking about Jesus. Yet to happen, you see? Hadn't happened yet, but it will at the 1,000-year millennium reign. 2 Samuel 7:16. So biblical scholars, they kind of agree that Jesus is the fulfillment of this covenant. That's kind of one of the reasons his genealogy is given for both his stepfather in Matthew 1, all through 1 to 17, his mother, Luke 2, 23 to 28. You see, the Hebrew Jews, they understood that this particular truth. When they laid down the palm branches and their cloaks as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, they knew that. But apparently some of them forgot about it. He came in riding on a donkey, not a white horse. The white horse comes later. It's called Armageddon. They expected him to be a military political leader that would liberate them from the Romans and make Israel a great nation again. They didn't realize he came in to be a sacrifice. He didn't come in on the white horse. They didn't take attention to that. He fulfilled 360-some prophecies of the Old Testament, some yet to be fulfilled, because, like I said before, there'll only be in the 1,000-year reign that many will be fulfilled. That's why they want him crucified. But we know why. They expected him to be this leader, to liberate them from the Romans, make Israel a great nation again. But now the secret societies have a new Jerusalem, North American continent. It's not going to happen. They didn't understand. They didn't understand the nature of Jesus' work at the time was for the new covenant, not the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant is during the 1,000-year reign. Will be beginning of Jesus' eternal reign over Israel and the earth. You see how it worked? Revelation 20, verse 4 and 6. The Davidic covenant could not be fulfilled yet until the 1,000-year reign. So then comes along the new covenant. Jeremiah 31:31-34. You see, the work of the new covenant was a result of the death of Jesus and resurrection that reconciled the hearts and souls to God. That's been accomplished. Abrahamic covenant, that's been accomplished to a point. But we've not yet seen the fulfillment, complete fulfillment of this scripture, Jeremiah 31:33, has not yet happened. Jeremiah Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. That's pretty clear. He'll put their law within them. He'll write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they'll be my people. Ezekiel 36:28. More specifics, you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Isaiah 59:20-21. That kind of explains the covenant. It's possible because of Redeemer, Jesus, and the reconciliation. This reconciliation, he actually provided, is going to last forever, eternity, after Gog and Magog, after the thousand-year millennium. Now, this covenant doesn't mean every Jew will be saved at all, or Gentile. But it does mean that Israel, as its nation, will worship the Messiah once and for all. So you know there's Old Testament saints all through spoke of this covenant, including Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Ezekiel. And all of them wrote that it would be fulfilled in the future. So, from their time on till yet, Israel is yet to become an independent nation that worshipped its Messiah. Romans 9:11. They will be in the thousand-year reign, not now. So somebody better tell Hagee this. Apparently he don't know. Or the rest of them out there that think they know, that's supposed to be leading people. Those Steens, the Copelands, and the Benny Hinnies, and all those guys, they better wake up there. Something's not right. Other promises he made, covenants that God made with Israel to be fulfilled in Jesus' thousand-year reign. But the Bible lists other promises that will be fulfilled. He promised Jesus he'll make his enemies a footstool. That Jesus' followers will worship him freely. Psalms 100. This is what they're not telling you. They're telling you that meteorites are coming down to hit you. They're telling you that GMO products will kill you. They're telling you that y'all going to die from some disease. That we have a new world order, tyranny above us all. Here we go. But they're not telling you about the millennium reign. They're not telling you what's going to happen to them. The preachers aren't telling you about the promise and the hope. Why would they not do that? Why did they not tell you about spiritual warfare? Why they take some of the main verses about spiritual warfare, all the other Bibles, and King James has it all. And yet these preachers out here still follow the NIV. It's missing verses. That's no debate there. There's no discussion. The Bible's missing verses. End of discussion. End of debate. God promised the nations of the world that they would live in peace and Jesus as their ruler. Has that happened yet? No. Daniel 7:11-14. Talks specifically about that. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts that had their dominion taken away, as the other kings, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Not in a UFO, by the way. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near him before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. You know, he promised creation that the curse would be lifted. Romans 8, 18 to 23. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's where they make a mistake and call that speaking in tongues. It's not that at all. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The answers, if you search it out, are available. But you got to search it out with an open mind, with those you can trust. Because deception is the rule. Truth is exception, unfortunately. As I mentioned, that's why I talked about it earlier. That was apparently the purpose of that. Now I see why. Groanings in the Spirit. You know, we sustained by this glorious hope, aren't we? So the Spirit sustains us in our weaknesses if we're in touch with it. We're often perplexed in our prayer life. Don't do enough and don't do it sincerely enough. We don't know how to pray as we should. We pray selfishly, ignorantly, narrowly. But once again, the Spirit comes alongside to assist us in our weaknesses. Intercedes for us with groanings which cannot find expression. Now, in this verse, it's the Spirit who groans and not we who groan through. That's also true. There's kind of a mystery there, aren't they? You're kind of peering into the unseen spiritual realm where a great person and a great forces are at work on our behalf. It has nothing to do with tongues. Though we can't understand it all, like the Trinity, we can take infinite encouragement from the fact that a groan may sometimes be the most spiritual prayer, but not speaking in tongues. They use it quite extensively to say, well, you see, that's the groanings. Well, speaking in tongues is not groaning. It's talking in babble, that you don't know what's going on. It's not groanings. You know, Daniel 7, 11, 14, he promised creation that the curse would be lifted. Romans 8, 18 to 23, and animals and the earth will be restored to peace and prosperity. Isaiah 11, 6 to 9, and the period of peace and prosperity, Satan is going to fake in the first seal. And you know, people will be freed from disease. Ezekiel 34:16. I don't think they mean colloidal silver, by the way. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. So these two will be fulfilled during the thousand-year reign. So So the main purpose of Jesus' thousand-year reign is to fulfill the prophecies given to Israel and the promises made to Jesus, the nations, and the earth. So God's covenants were voluntary and one-sided. He promised he would bless Israel, restore the world in specific ways, and he will. That brings us to tomorrow. Another segment about the millennial kingdom and how literal it should be understood. And also we'll talk about, will David reign with Jesus in the millennial kingdom? We'll talk some about why God is going to release Satan after the thousand years. Tomorrow is my last part, I guess, of the lead up to the end times tribulations. About mind control, of how Satan controls the mind to keep us, keep others and keep people busy. Mind control until a time that he can bring about his new world order. Well, I'm talking specifically how he does it. And that's what my purpose of my broadcasts are, to tell you specifically exactly how he does it so you'll be able to pray against it. You got to know your enemy to direct your prayers and fasting and where to go, where not to go, so you won't be influenced. I read somewhere today that the more you think about the sin, the more likely you're going to commit it. Now, that seems like a basic premise. So you have to change your thoughts. Sometimes we can't do that. Sometimes there's things around us that remind us of this, that, or the other. Well, that's the purpose of it. To keep us reminded. When you feel conviction, that's God talking to you. You want supernatural? That's supernatural. Well, we're at the end of the program and the Bible study tonight. I appreciate y'all stopping by. Family, it's not in religion. It's not in a preacher. It's not in a rabbi. It's not in an evangelist. It's not in a pope or any human being at all. Not at all. It's not in a movement. It's not in the country. It's not in the patriotism. It's not in any of this. It's in Jesus. People say, oh, I just love Osteen. So what? Oh, but I really trust Billy Graham. Well, not now. It's always about fighting for the religion or fighting for the country or fighting for a building or a preacher or a pastor or a pope or whatever. Where's Jesus in all this? Fighting for the wrong things. You know, the folks that follow Satanists and Luciferians, man, they're more loyal to him than Christians are to God, to Jesus. Needs to be switched around. Y'all have a good night. And remember, it's not about the religion. None of them. I mean Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Libertarian or Hindu. The Hindus are going after Christians now. And Muslims. Hinduism is the New Age movement religion. Secular humanism. Isn't that sneaky? Dalai Lama, you'd never think an old man's worse than the Muslims, but he is. He's the one bringing Luciferian. That's how Satan works. Distraction. To get you on looking at one side while he sneaks in on the other. And old Buddha, man, old Buddha, he ain't going to get it, but he's going to be in the New Age movement. That's the one that's going to bring it in, Buddha. Maitreya, the false prophet. The Antichrist, all this is connected. So y'all have a good night now. And know what I told you before, that Jesus Christ wins. The millennial reign is Jesus. That's the hope. I don't mean hope. Well, hope it happens. It's the hope that's coming. The prayer is soon. Y'all have a good night. Close with prayer. Let's get moving. Lord, we thank you tonight for Bible study. Lord, to guide us and keep us and strong. Help us follow your word, Lord, that you'll lead us the right path. Father, bless our families. Bless our friends. And Father, we pray for those that we prayed for healings, families that are divided to come together, for miracles to happen, for those we've prayed for healings. Father, we pray for more wisdom and discernment that we can lead more in Bible study and in the broadcasting, the Lord, to bring truth, to prepare for those times to come. In these things we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Let's do it. So y'all have a good night, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. Oh, by the way, remember that John Kirkler runs our broadcasting and our Bible studies graciously, and HighPointRadio.net up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania with his network up there. We have a, Facebook, Watchman for Jesus, visit it. And I got a website that mainly I use for my broadcasts and archives and a few studies there. They're quite intense, quite lengthy, but detailed. You'll find on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. And you're welcome to join. And tomorrow, 4 o'clock, hit the ground running. Got more for you and how they're controlling mankind. So we'll see you all then tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Have a great night. God bless. And remember, Jesus Christ is Lord, not Buddha.
Well, old Buddha was a man, and I'm sure that he meant well. But I pray for his disciples, lest they wind up in hell. And I'm sure that old Mohammed thought he knew the way. But it won't be Hare Krishna we stand before on the judgment day. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun, not heaven. Well, I don't hate anybody, so please don't take me wrong. But there really is a message in this simple song. You see, there's only one way, Jesus. If eternal life is your goal, in meditation of the mind, it won't save your soul. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun, not heaven. Well, you can call yourself a Baptist and not be born again. A Presbyterian or a Methodist and still die in your sin. You can't even be charismatic, shout and dance and jump a few. But if you hate your brother, you won't be one of the chosen few. Cause it won't be a Baptist that's sitting on the throne, a Presbyterian or a Methodist that's calling us home. And it won't be a charismatic that plays that trumpet tune. Let's all just live for Jesus.
it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. We're going to see